The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. You can follow us on Facebook.com/High Spot Podcast, on the Twitter at High Spot Podcast, as well as Instagram and Snapchat. We've got a great episode for you today. Matthew Ryan of Capital Wrestling joins us, but can't do the show without the trendsetter, Brian Perga. What is going on, my man? Another week, more news in the world of professional wrestling. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. The pleasure is all ours in terms of talking about all of that. But guys, don't forget to also follow us on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Also follow us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean. And make sure you catch us on our networks, the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks, with all their great content that they have on there.
Yeah, man, I got a great show for you today. Again, it just never stops with the news here in professional wrestling.
Well, if it stopped, we'd be out of a job.
I know, but usually we kind of have to recycle stuff, but there's no recycling right now as we head close now on the road to WrestleMania. Just feels like it just happened yesterday. We were on the road to last year, and now we're on it again. Eventually, we are a few weeks away from the Royal Rumble, but lots to get to. So, Trendsetter, are you ready?
No. Yes, I am.
Okay, but before we do that, of course, that was just a little tease right there. Our High Spot Podcast YouTube channel is up and running. We've got exclusive interviews with such stars as LAX, the new tag team champions for Impact Wrestling, Alberto El Patron, Sienna the Savage, and of course, Bullet Club members, the villain Marty Scurll, Adam Hangman Page, who will expose, I believe, the penis pretender, which is Joey Ryan. We'll find out eventually. Ooh. Jay Lethal, Joshua Woods. Plus, you can catch videos from High Spot Podcast mini-series Adventures with the Trendsetter. So you've had a couple of new posts on there. So, you know, just talk about that real quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've already had three guests on the show from Exotica in Edison, New Jersey. One was Jess Roach. She was the first guest that graced the presence of the Trendsetter. Then it was Lena Paul, Angela White, and the current guest is Vicky Chase that I posted on Wednesday. When you guys listen to this episode, you will also get two others, two for the price of one. Tegan Presley and Phoenix Marie. There you go, guys. My apologies for being really late on that, but like I mentioned before on the episode of the Adventures of the Trendsetter, quality over quantity.
Yeah, man. So now we get to the news, and of course, Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks have set a date now for the All In special, which they're going to do, that they're going to finance themselves. Basically, it was, can they fund a 10,000 seat arena, make a profit maybe, and then be able to kind of say, hey, that this is what we did, we're doing this, can they do it? Well, we found out the date, September 1st, and we're going to find out the location on an episode of Being the Elite, which I'm looking forward to. I love those episodes. Your thoughts real quick on just, you know, the date, All In. Of course, you saw the teases on Twitter with all their faces all in. Just tell me what you think right now. Is it something that's highly anticipated? Is it something that you just can't wait for?
I'm definitely looking forward to it, but, you know, besides my opinion, I think when the question that you ask, you know, can they do it? Can they fill out a 10,000 seat, a 30,000 seat arena? I think it is possible, because when you just saw them mention the date in which it was going to happen, you saw such a huge outpouring of following on all social media platforms for, you know, Cody, Kenny, the Young Bucks. So I think it is very much possible. And to me, I'm so excited about it more because, Jeff, it's kind of like how I've mentioned before on certain shows, we've talked about it. I feel such excitement that the power is actually now in the wrestlers' hands, the performers, the entertainers, whatever you want to call it. You know, they become now the promoters, the bookers. Not that they haven't really done it in the business before, but this is kind of, you know, visiting new territory. And to me, I think it's like, it's really going to be, you know, they're pioneers to begin with. It's going to kind of create a roadmap, like you and I talk about, how, like, for example, as much as we mention how WWE is this big, huge global thing, it's not going away anytime soon. The ability now you have to market yourself and promote yourself, it's an amazing machine. I think it's not going to slow down. It's just picking up momentum now.
I'm going to stop you there, and I believe that, you know, 10,000 seat arena, yes, it's possible. But you said, you know, 20, 30, started with 30 and 20. I don't believe still it is possible
really, for
them to do a 30, 20,000 seat arena. I mean, I know the Tokyo Dome did over 40, right?
Depends on the location, exactly, though, too.
But I don't believe yet that something like that. Now, listen, it's tough because a lot of independents can't do 10,000. So for them to target 10,000 means that, you know, they think, they believe strongly that 10,000 can do it. Now, whether maybe you get, you know, another 2,000 maybe involved, that's one thing. But to go from 20 to 30, I don't think it's close. But I think it is possible maybe in a year or two that an independent can do something like that. Because, listen, WWE, you know, is the only one right now that can pull 10,000. I mean, not even Impact can do it. So I think that a little haste is kind of what you said with the 20 to 30,000. But I think 10,000 is definitely possible.
Well, maybe 30 is extending a little too far, but I think 20 is still possible as well. Now, granted, not going for that number, I was using those as examples. Obviously, it's something you want to look forward to in the future, just depending how successful this is. But ultimately, like I said, my answer was, I think it's completely possible. You've seen the lines that they have for, you know, these independent wrestlers. When you look at the Young Bucks, Cody, Kenny Omega, the villain Marty Skrull, it's possible, in my opinion. It really is.
I definitely agree. But realistically, when they're shooting for 10,000, I think that's a good target.
But I also think it depends on location. It depends on the card itself, who's going to be involved in it. I mean, look at the Jericho Cruz that we're going to be involved in, too. And look at the talent on that roster. You're telling me right now, with a boat as big as they're going to use for the Jericho Cruz, that could fill a 10,000-seat arena.
With the lineup that they have?
Yeah, in terms of, you add up all entertainment, that could fill up a 10,000-seat arena for, you know, rock and roll and wrestling. I think it's possible, depending on who you're booking on that show that's going to happen when you're all in. I think that's the possibility of doing it. So my views on it are pretty high that it is possible because it's such a huge following. There's something outside of that.
I think the people that don't think that it's realistic that they can fill 10,000 don't really know the wrestling fan. Because the wrestling fan, like we talked to a lot of people, the wrestling fan is a loyal one. They'll travel. If they love something, if it's like a cult following, they will. And the way they travel for these guys, the way they buy the shirts on Hot Topic, there's no question that 10,000 seats is very realistic. And you said too, it's depending on the booking of the matches and stuff, so we still don't know who's going to be there. As far as, like, you know, without the Bullet Club or the Elite, we don't know who else is on it. But you got Kenny Omega, already a top star in New Japan, very popular. Cody, he's going to bring asses to the seats. The Young Bucks, Hangman Page, Marty Skrull. So they're all in. So already, you know, it gives you incentive to go. So we're talking about cities. Where do you think would be the best place to put this event?
Los Angeles. Chicago always jumps in the top of my head, I think, because we've never been, but we hear it's such a huge wrestling crowd. Chicago, Philadelphia, obviously the New York metropolitan area is also a very popular spot as well.
Where Boston. Would you want to put it? Where would you put it if you had one choice right now?
I would say Chicago right now.
Chicago.
You know, maybe they want to take the momentum of what they did during the G1 special. Maybe that's the route to go, but I think Chicago is right up for the taking right now in terms of if you want to get a huge following, a lot of diehards there. And you said it before, the wrestling fan feels like it has a voice and it wants to follow this lead, this whole supposed revolution. And I think right now they want their voices heard. So they actually, the fans, want to make this happen more, I feel, than the talent themselves.
I would think it makes the most sense to be. That's kind of where, like, Pro Wrestling Tees home base is. And I just think, yeah, like you said, everyone seems to be, like, drawn to Chicago right now. Especially, you know, how WWE does with the Rosemont Horizon. And when Ring of Honor picks those smaller venues to do their shows, it's just a different kind of breed over there in Chicago when they're a wrestling fan. And not taking anything away from New York or LA or, you know, like you said, Boston too, or Philly, but it's just a special kind of breed of those Chicago fans. I would love to personally go to one of those in Chicago and just feel that experience. But hey, listen, the only downfall is that PWG usually holds their events, the Battle of Los Angeles, at that same time during Labor Day. So it's kind of going to have to make a choice whether you're going to go to the Battle of Los Angeles or you're going to go to this event, because it's on Labor Day weekend. So you're going to have to make a choice. So and that means that the Young Bucks will not be competing at the Battle of Los Angeles or any of those PWG events that they have at that. You know, that small place that you see on Being the Elite where all the guys hang out, that's going to be, it might be hurt a little bit if the Young Bucks and some of the Bullet Club members don't show up.
It might be hurt, but it'd be hurt, I feel, for the right causes.
So are you? So I'm looking forward to this, man. We had a chance to talk about this earlier.
You and everybody on Twitter is looking forward to it. You look at Twitter, Facebook, everybody's hitting up this whole, are you all in with the date? You have Kenny, Cody, the Young Bucks, Marty Scurll. You have all that, and Hangman Page. It's it has a life of its own, and I really feel it's gaining momentum. And the mere fact that it's in September now, it's like, wow, you're looking forward to Wrestle Kingdom 12. Now I'm looking forward to anticipation as this slowly builds itself up towards September. We haven't hit summer yet. We're still in winter. So that's crazy. It's for next fall for this to happen.
We know who's going to be there, but now everyone's going to talk about the speculation of who could possibly, you know, help out with this. And a lot of names come to mind. Is there one in particular that you would target? One in particular that could be a possibility of actually being there, especially if it's in Chicago? Could we see a guy that you referred to as Phil Brooks?
I know where you're going with this one, but I'm not even considering that right now. I think later on it might become a reality, or internet might buzz about it. But to me, the one guy it's hard to go after is Daniel Bryan. No question about it. Go after Daniel Bryan. If his contracts expire, he doesn't want to renew, and he doesn't want to wrestle again, how much momentum can you gain in terms of ticket sales and people wanting to intriguely, it's not even a word, people wanting to see this, than the wrestling fan to see Daniel Bryan wrestle in his first match after how many years at an event like this? That would be exciting. That would sell tickets. That's your own marketing right there.
Would you think a Kenny Omega versus Daniel Bryan would be the way to go?
Wow, that would
Cody
be great.
Cody, Daniel Bryan,
I think they've been teasing that. Now Cody's no longer the Ring of Honor World Champion. That or Kenny Omega would be an amazing match to watch, especially the high-caliber athletes they are. And also, it's also interesting, too, that it gives you a little bit of questioning because Daniel Bryan's been out of the ring for so long. Can he compete in the same level as these guys?
Obviously, they have an idea who's going to be available if they're going to target September 1st, kind of going to lead to speculation during the summertime whether Daniel Bryan's contract status is up at the time. But interesting thing that came out, too, is that Daniel Bryan chose not to re-sign with WWE. He's going to let the contract expire. Rumors are going around
Smart.
That WWE is a little, miffed, and they could go with a whole angle where Daniel Bryan turns heel. He kind of gets phased out, but listen, you can do whatever you want. The fans are going to love him, and they're going to know that once he leaves WWE, they know who Daniel Bryan is. They already know of him too much. What are you going to do? You're going to change Total Divas and Total Bellas, or you're going to make him like a heel? It's not going to work that way. People know the real Daniel Bryan, so whatever you do with him, there's still going to be tons of popularity with him when he comes out. And if he does wrestle September the 1st, it's going to be very highly anticipated.
It's not a surprise to me he didn't renew. He wants to test out his options. And you'd be smart right now for the mere fact that if you are medically cleared outside of WWE to wrestle, you want to know what's out there. And if WWE's surprised about this, then they have nobody to blame but themselves, because they had countless opportunities to bring Daniel Bryan back. But because of them protecting themselves, it hasn't happened. Is there some bitterness between both? I think so. Only from the outside looking in can you kind of see that. Maybe Daniel Bryan's a little bitter that they've prevented him from getting in the ring, and WWE's a little bitter in terms that he's questioning and talking about going elsewhere, although while he's still under contract. So we'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, I think Daniel Bryan will wrestle again. I really feel it won't be, though, for WWE.
Somebody who's not going anywhere anytime soon is Kenny Omega. He re-ups with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Contract will take him up to the end of January in 2019. So he's not going anywhere. He's going to change the world, and he's going to do it from New Japan and other various locations.
So no Royal Rumble entry.
So that's speculation. I don't think so. So your thoughts. Is it a bright idea? Is it a good idea? Is it, can't wait till he goes to WWE. What do you think of the contract extension to Kenny Omega?
Happy for it. I was surprised it was only 1 year with somebody like Kenny.
I think he wants to do year by year.
I think he wants to do year by year. It's kind of always iffy when you do a year by year contract, just because you're always kind of playing with fire. You never know what's going to happen in a year. So if you have two, you kind of have one in the bag in a way in case something hopefully doesn't happen. But in terms of answering your question, do I want him in WWE? Yeah, I've said it on the show, Jeff, and I'll say it again, that, you know, to me, Kenny Omega is so talented, so gifted, that I'm just afraid with all the examples that we've used along, you know, those last couple of months about people that have been, you know, brought into WWE from other promotions, namely New Japan and things of that nature, to NXT and then gone into the main roster, have just been lost in the shuffle. To me, as much as I love those individuals in WWE, I don't want the same thing to happen to Kenny Omega. I think he has such a pure, natural terms of just sense and aura about him and his character and what he's done and the work he's done to create the cleaner, this whole persona that is Kenny Omega that we enjoy. I would hate to see that on WTV and to be withered away and be a shell of its former self. So I'm the kind of person that would like to always see Kenny Omega wrestle. And if he ends his career not going to the WWE, as much as some people might think that's a failure, I think it would be the ultimate story in terms of somebody who went to a foreign land, became a megastar without anybody's help, did it all on his own, and to this day is probably still one of the highly recognized names out there outside of whatever names you can name in WWE.
I mean, even Sting went to WWE, and no one thought that would ever happen.
Like, along that took, though.
Exactly. So Kenny Omega could, if he decided to, be the only one guy to never set foot into WWE, and he'd be okay with it.
And I think that means something to Kenny.
And he'd be okay with it too. I mean, honestly, what would it be for? A payday? You know, that would probably be it. And a WrestleMania moment.
But yeah, that's what he said. The only thing it would be for would be a WrestleMania moment.
And AJ Styles too, before they both have to shut it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, listen, it's good for New Japan. He wants to see the company succeed as they're expanding into the U.S. Definitely going to need him, especially when they come over here in March. So good for Kenny Omega. Good for everything. Did you hear the Talk Is Jericho with Kenny and Chris?
No, I haven't had a chance to listen to that one
yet. It is really good listen. They dissect the match, and you can tell how both they have great minds for this business, too. So it's definitely a must listen.
Well, I don't need to listen to the podcast to know they both have. You and I both know they have great minds for this business.
For those that doubt, yes, that's what I would say.
But ultimately, what was the last thing I was going to say, though, Jeff, was, I kind of forgot what I was going to say, but you're right in terms of Kenny and Chris both being great minds for the world of professional wrestling. But again, at the same time, I really feel that Kenny is trying to do something different in New Japan. If Kenny can end his career, although he's never reached the point where he will see the ultimate success of everything he's done, the ultimate success will be that New Japan's in a better place. I know how corny and cliche that might sound sometimes, but I really think that's really important and vital to him. And I think it's important too, because there's nothing greater, Jeff, that when we see other elements out there, other promotions and competition. When it's healthy competition, I love it and it's exciting to have. And I hope that a promotion like New Japan can kind of get itself out of Japan in a way, never lose that identity, but make its way over to the markets of the United States in a lot broader spectrum where people can see it. And I think Kenny and the Young Bucks and Cody and the entire Bullet Club and the Elite are on that path of trying to do that.
Well, I mean, like you said, companies that are on the right path. Impact Wrestling, we just found out that Brian Cage will be making his debut, and also Austin
Congrats
Aries,
to Brian Cage.
The greatest man in history. The greatest man that ever lived.
But I like that in history, too, because in history, he's probably one of the most underrated talents out there.
Became the new Impact champion at the tapings, defeating Eli Drake. So, obviously, now they're making strides. They went from the six-sided ring to the
squared circle.
So, I mean, it's great now. So, basically, now you can tell now that these guys mean business. They actually came close from what I read.
Just something on flip-flop. They've done it where there was a six-sided the ring. They made fun of the six-sided. They went back to that from their previous identity. And now going back to this, you hope they stay with this. Because, again, like you said, it's a new era. It's a new day in the world of Impact. Stick with what you have right now and don't go backwards.
Yeah, new titles are going to be made for the Impact Wrestling, and of course they go into the blue rope, so it's kind of more like a serious look too. So listen, man, what did we say before? The more competition out there, the better things get for everyone in the business. Yeah. You want to see every company succeed because it gives everybody a chance to improve their platform, and you're going to make a great point eventually down the road where I think this year's going to be competition. And I think that's what, you know, this business needs, competition, right?
You get that, at least I get that sense of it. Do you get the same feeling?
I feel like something's brewing. And you know,
the small little boom of what we're talking about with you know, All You All In, you know, the Jared Cruz, all this stuff that's going on. Plus, WrestleMania is right around the corner. We're going to talk about Royal Rumble pretty soon. So all that stuff's exciting, and you know, there's never really an off season now.
What if I told you that New Japan was going to make more play for the unhappy, disgruntled WWE guys? Do you think that's something that they would need in order to not compete, but maybe just try to get to the level of being that second promotion?
My biggest thing, my biggest fear with other promotions when they go after, like you say, disgruntled WWE guys, is I don't want that to be the whole identity. Mm. Perfect example.
Pick and choose.
Pick and choose. If talent wants to come along that way, let them come to New Japan, but focus on your homegrown talent. Let them be the stars, and everybody else is kind of, you know, supporting that, supporting cast. Because with other promotions, like, for example, TNA, who now no longer exists, it's now Impact, they had the problem where they made old or WWE stars that had left the company, made them the focal point when either they were past their prime, they were never really necessarily considered a big star, and they made them that, they gave them that impression.
Right away.
Right away. Yeah. You can't do that, and then you bury the talent that's kind of helped you get to this point. If New Japan is going to go that route, just be careful and make sure you don't lose that identity. But I think with a company like New Japan and the way they've run for so many years, that wouldn't happen. But you got to be careful and pick and choose. You can't just go completely after the entire roster because then you lose your identity.
Can I give you a few names and you tell me where you think they would succeed?
Sure.
Zack Ryder. There's a guy that I believe he loves where he's at. He's never going to leave. But if he were to, which my advice would be, go believe in yourself. Become that star that you deserve to be because you have that it factor. You made yourself a star with your own web series. So, you know, go out there and do it. But he's not going to go. He loves WWE.
I would agree with you. I think his heart's so much with WWE that even if he did go better on himself, which he's proven he can do it, he wouldn't want to do that, especially in this stage in his career. He's not a young spring chicken anymore. He wouldn't want to do that. It's the problem, Jeff, we have sometimes when things are too comfortable. I think he's so comfortable right now, he wouldn't want to leave.
So I'll give you the name, Zack Ryder. Ring of Honor, Impact, or New Japan?
I would say Impact.
Yeah, me too. He just looks like an Impact guy, right? Neville. It looks like he was going to come back.
Now New Japan.
Now it looks like he's going to wait out the contract. Yeah, I would say New Japan or Ring of Honor, either or.
I think in New Japan right now, he would just completely, if he went for the junior heavyweight title, it would be an amazing series of matches you have, especially the talent roster they have.
Dolph Ziggler.
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor?
Yeah. Because he's got that chip on his shoulder. I don't think, although it would be cool to see him in New Japan, I think right now Ring of Honor, what they're trying to do, I think Zack Ryder could probably identify with more in terms of building up that brand and promotion. And, you know, in terms of, you know, Ring of Honor, it's all about in-ring skill, which is like New Japan. I think Zack Ryder fits that type of grungy, you know, underground type of what Ring of Honor is. No, sorry, Dolph Ziggler, I meant. It kind of fills that void in and could help elevate a lot of guys from Ring of Honor.
Let me just take one, and I don't know why I would bring him up, but I just feel like he could definitely use a change of scenery. Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews, believe it or not, as much as I think he would fit more instantly at Impact, I would like to see him go to Japan. Because such a young guy.
Ring of Honor. Yeah.
Oh, you thought Ring of Honor? I think he's just a young guy. He needs that foreign experience. I mean, he came quickly to NXT. He was highly recruited. Went to NXT, had a short stint there, and then went immediately to the main roster. That's too much too fast. He needs that experience. He needs, if he can get over in a foreign soil, then to go to Ring of Honor, it'd be another transition. Impact would be a seamless transition. He needs to find that identity. I think he could find it better in Japan.
Out of any of those guys, who do you think would be the best fit for Bullet Club?
Of the ones you just mentioned?
Or anyone that maybe I'm not thinking, someone that's toiling right now in WWE that's not really, you know, they're not really letting him, you know, be their natural potential. Like, who do you think? Maybe somebody I mentioned. I think Ziggler would be great for Bullet Club. I think he would really get along with Cody, and I think they'd work well off each other. But it could be somebody else. I don't know. Anybody you've ever thought to be like, hey, man, the guy's like oozing Bullet Club?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I really haven't thought about anybody in WWE right now in the current roster that aren't already Bullet Club members or former Bullet Club members. That's an interesting one.
Well, you know what?
Because right now, Apollo Crews, Dolph Ziggler, I don't think fits in there. Apollo Crews is way too young. It's not believable. Zack Ryder, he's classic WWE brand, I feel. Neville, maybe. Because he has that chip on his shoulder too, and what we saw of him when he reinvented himself coming back from having a separated or broken ankle. Maybe Neville right now. I have to think about that.
They're gonna regret ever making Neville disgruntled. With Austin Aries, really nothing you could do.
Oh, Austin could fit there too.
Well, what I was trying to say is, you know, Austin Aries, you saw him on Impact now. I mean, there's a guy that I thought WWE had a golden opportunity to do so. A guy that they pushed him to out of NXT really faster than I thought that they should have. But there's a guy to me that they're going to regret also too letting go too. But you can't please everybody. But, yeah. You know, maybe during the show you'll think about it too.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
We have one more question to ask before we get our interview with Matthew Ryan from Capital Wrestling. He is the mad genius, the evil mad scientist behind Capital Wrestling. So we're going to get a chance to talk to him. We were at the December 29th event in Hoboken, New Jersey, World War IV. So we're going to talk to him in just a few minutes. But the last thing is, we got the lead up to Raw 25-year anniversary show, Manhattan Center and the Barclays, a double show. A lot of names being bandied about who's going to be there. We already know that there's going to be tons of legends, but none greater than Stone Cold Steve Austin. He makes his return. We don't know yet if it's going to be at the Manhattan Center or the Barclays, but still, Stone Cold Steve Austin will be there. Don't know if The Rock will be there yet, but a lot of lead up to it. A lot of matches are scheduled. You got The Miz, who made his return against Roman Reigns. The IC title is on the line. You got Alexa Bliss and Asuka that will be fighting there at Raw 25. So just your thoughts as we get the lead up to, because normally there's the go home and anticipation for the Royal Rumble, but you got the show in between, which is going to be, you know, something, you know, talked about and everyone's going to be excited about. So you got the Raw 25, and then it's also the go home show for the Royal Rumble.
My thoughts on it, Jeff? I feel old.
Oh my
those
God.
Those are my thoughts on it.
25 years.
Really excited, because here's the thing. It's a 3-hour Raw, so granted, a 25th anniversary of Raw would behoove 3 hours, but just, I get a lot of feeling of nostalgia. I really do. That's the only word that I get when I think of it. It's amazing it's lasted as long as it has, and it doesn't look like it's going to lose any momentum anytime soon, but just so much nostalgia, so much appreciation for the fact that you and I watched it when we were very young, kind of the very early stages of it, like maybe past the inception of what happened, and see where it's gone from and where it's the highs and the lows, to the point of like, my God, this is so unwatchable, to now like, oh, this is the best thing in the world, and that's, you know, up and down every single time. Just amazing. We see stars like Stone Cold Steve Austin. It brings, what did Ric Flair say, a tear to my eye, that they come back to pay their respects. Not necessarily the talent paying their respects, but for us, the fans, to pay respect to the talent to help build all of this, especially a guy like Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I'm excited to see him.
I haven't seen him in a while, so it's going to be great to see Stone Cold Steve Austin, see what the Rattlesnake has in store for everyone. Do you think the Rock
will kill the rumors that he's coming back?
No, I think he's done. I don't think those are rumors. I think he's shot him down more than enough
times. No, but
everybody
brings it up. Oh, he has one more left in him. Guys, yeah, but it's been a long time. He's not coming back into the ring.
He's kind of, you know, put a kibosh on it. So, you know, he's not, just like Shawn Michaels, guys, he's not coming back.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, stop yelling one more match, because it's, you kind of like, you're being stupid. So stop, you know, just stop, man. I mean, it just makes no sense.
Hey, it's still real to them,
waste
Jeff.
Your breath, you know? But yeah, so that's going to be coming up soon, but we'll be in Vegas for AVN, so we'll catch that. But we'll still have your show on Friday. We'll post that up too. We'll probably just review Raw 25 and give your Royal Rumble, I guess, preview and predictions too, because we're gonna we're gonna get off the plane and then we're gonna head up to Philly.
Guys, then, this is gonna happen. Can I tell them real quick what's gonna happen?
Yeah, because I'm
guys, this
I'm
is gonna happen on the 23rd of January.
I'm getting tired already from talking about it.
We're gonna head out at night because all the events start on the 24th, so it's a Tuesday. We're gonna head out on Tuesday at night, arrive at our hotel room around midnight in the East Coast. It'll be around 9 o'clock in Nevada. Check into our room, grab a bite to eat, go to sleep immediately. Unless Jeff wants to go to sleep. And then from there, start the events, which start like around 12 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning, believe it or not, till 8 o'clock. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, the AVN Awards are on Saturday night, but unfortunately, I'm not going to stay for the AVN Awards, neither Jeff and I. So we're going to be 3 nights in Las Vegas, fly back on the airplane and on Saturday at 6 in the morning to arrive in the metropolitan area, New Jersey, at I believe 2 o'clock in the afternoon, get something to eat, shower real quick, get in a car, and drive two and a half hours to Philly to see TakeOver, and then hopefully go to the Royal Rumble at that time as well.
Keep
and then come back
crossed.
On Monday back to Jersey. So
to real
be a long
lives,
day.
To hell, basically.
Well, we might not make it to hell, Jeff, because We might not make it there, but that's exhausting. As much work as we're going to do, because we're doing a lot of interviews, we're doing a lot of vlogging. We'll be posting on the YouTube channel, so guys, check it out. Social media, website, everything. We'll be posting videos as we have our journey to Las Vegas, and then, you know, again, to NXT TakeOver Philly, and then the Royal Rumble will be pretty exciting.
Yeah, so guys, keep your ears and eyes open for the High Spot Podcast on the YouTube channel, as well as, of course, on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher. Tune in every...
Podbean,
everywhere you can find podcasts. And, of course, we'll have a special announcement at the end of the show, too, about the future of the High Spot Podcast. And also, we have now... Of course, what you've all been waiting for is an interview with Matthew Ryan from Capital Wrestling. Just a really quick story. We went on December 29th to a session, a promo session, because we're going to be doing some ring announcing for Pro Wrestling Magic. And we wanted to get, you know, the sense of promo skills and what it was like. We had a great seminar, and we were able to learn a lot. So we thank Matthew Ryan for that. And we were able to watch the World War IV, which is amazing. Guys, you heard Matthew Ryan on the Eric Bischoff on MLW before. He's been on there. He has a huge following. Capital Wrestling is one of the up-and-coming wrestling organizations in the world. Think about this, man. 2017, and they're already on Twitch. They're going to have a deal with the Westchester channel to, you know, show the shows over there. So it's going to be amazing. And it's only 1 year. And Matthew Ryan, one thing you'll hear from him is the passion and the desire to be the best. And you know what, man? Hopefully it rubs off on us, because he's one of the guys that we definitely believe will make a huge mark in 2018. It was a great opportunity to chat with Matthew Ryan of Capital Wrestling. And here is our interview with the man himself, Matt Ryan. All right, Trendsetter, we got a great guest coming up right now. We've got Matt Ryan of Capital One Wrestling. Now, if you're familiar with podcasts, you listen to Eric Bischoff's podcast when he was on MLW, he had a great interview with Matt Ryan of Capital Wrestling, and you get a chance to see of a promotion building from the ground up, and somebody who I think has a great mind and somebody that you can learn a lot from is this next guest here on the High Spot Podcast. So without further ado, welcome in Matt Ryan of Capital Wrestling. You can follow him on Twitter at M. Ryan Shapiro. Matt, what is going on?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm doing all right. Just keeping busy, moving the train ahead.
So when
try to get to February 10th.
February 10th. We'll get to February 10th, okay? But what I want to talk to you is, now that you've had about a few weeks to digest now, when you look at Capital Wrestling in 2017, what's a couple of things that you get a chance to look back on and say, hey, this was great strides for the company in 2017?
Well, moving in 2017 was our first year, and, you know, there are inevitable growing pains. There are things that you've got to figure out. You know, it's building our roster, building out the talent that's not only going to be on our TV show every week, but the support staff, the people shooting our TV, producing our segments, building up the entire body and staff of Capital Wrestling, every single portion of the company. It's basically like trying to put together a giant math equation. I'm terrible at math, but when you're building a math equation, or at least this is what smart people tell me, everything has to equal something. Every part has to build to another part, to an inevitable conclusion. And that's what we were trying to accomplish in year one. And that's what we've been trying to work on for quite a while.
So you say going into year one, but yet you caught the eye of a Nick Houseman and an Eric Bischoff, and you were able to get a lot of notoriety in just that, not even 1 year time, because I think the episode appeared somewhere during the mid-year. So talk about that. Talk about getting noticed by a mind like Eric Bischoff, and we all know his resume. Talk about how that evolved, and talk about what it's done for you guys going into 2018.
Well, you know, it started with the IRW network. I knew Nick Houseman through a mutual connection, our good friend Michael Kingston. I've known Michael for nearly a decade. He's the writer of Headlock, which is the definitive graphic novel for professional wrestling. You guys would, if you're not reading Headlock right now, you're not reading Michael Kingston's work, you are missing out on some of the most brilliant storytelling about pro wrestling. But Nick and I met each other at New York Comic Con in 2016. We had some brief conversations, and we just added each other on Facebook. And while Capital was starting out and we were looking for digital network providers, our first was obviously the Gotch and Queens Network. Our good friend and co-executive producer Andrew Zarian was our first home, as well as Facebook, YouTube. We have a great relationship with Pivot Share, but the IRW network was something that we were interested in, and Eric Bischoff was operating the platform. And in trying to get some buzz about the IRW network and some of the brands and products on there, we definitely wanted to take that opportunity, and we did an interview with Eric. I sat down and we, you know, shot the, I don't know if I can curse on this show, but
you can.
We shot the shit for over an hour. We exchanged phone numbers. I had a couple of conversations with him just about creative theory and producing and trying to figure out how to build a brand. And it was just a great opportunity. I'm someone whose entire career is because of being at the right place at the right time and being, you know, fortuitous enough to know some of the great thinkers and great doers of our industry, those who have put the effort in, those who have worked hard to create and to push and make things. And getting to learn and pick the brain from an Eric Bischoff was something that you can never pass up.
You got to take that when you can. We heard the podcast, and you know, one of the things that I came away with is, man, you have a plan. You know, you just, for example, when you talk with someone like Eric, or when you try to make a presentation to somebody, you know, in higher ups, or you're trying to impress somebody, you got to come with a plan. You seem like from the day one, you kind of like, you know, ground up, then you came out with, you know, directive initiatives. Let's talk about how you wear a lot of hats in this company. Talk about exactly being able to, you know, send a task, what you need to get done first, then what's the next process and the step. Is it something that you feel comfortable in trusting in other people, or do you feel like, you know, I got to put on all these hats, I'm the promoter, I'm the in-ring talent, I'm all this and that? Just talk about just that as being a promoter.
Well, being a promoter forces you into wearing a whole bunch of different hats. And when you're a startup, and this is, you know, no matter what, a podcast, wrestling company, an artisanal cheese shop in Teaneck, you're going to end up wearing a lot of the hats early on. And as someone who is, you know, self-described as having a lot of manic creative energy and who doesn't like sleeping, I end up with my finger in a whole bunch of the pies in the company. But I've learned slowly, I'm not all the way there yet, to delegate and to be a little, it's a process, because you have all of these things inside your mind and you feel like you know exactly how everything's supposed to go and you see it in your head. But then you need to translate it to not only the people that are the talent on camera, but to the director, to the camera people, to the sound people. And it's all about establishing relationships with people you trust. And I feel that with the crew we have now, our visual team, James McAvoy and Zane Decker, our heads of visual production, have done wonders. If you've been to any of the Capitol shows, or if you've watched any of our television, the growth from show one, episode one, to show five and episode 40, which just came out this past Monday, you see the leaps and bounds that we've grown in the past 10 months. If you take a look from March 25th, 2017 to December 29th of last year, you've seen every little thing we've done, and we're still pushing the stone up the mountain. We are not near where, you know, other major companies are, but yet again, we're running this out of a shirt pocket. We're having, you know, production meetings at bars and trying to have conversations over conference calls, because our team is all over the Northeast. Our lead music composer, Greg Massey, based out of Massachusetts. A lot of us are based out of the New York, New Jersey area, and a lot of us, you know, have day jobs. My partner, Marcus Dowling, is based out of D.C. We have people based in Pennsylvania, so it's hard for all of us to get into one room. So it's more of the having the conversations, Facebook chat, email,
group chat.
I've heard of Slack, but not a lot of people use it. So it's more about building up an organization, and eventually we'll get to a place where things are a lot more concise. It's more of the bomb scare, the idea of, oh shit, a bomb is going to drop. We've got to do all of these things now. And we have to turn a public school in the course of 10 hours into a high definition television production facility and also produce a live pay-per-view. So it takes a lot of gray hair and a lot of whiskey to accomplish the goal, but somehow every time we figure a way to, you know, get the show on the air, get the TV rolling, and get people to believe in the product.
And talking about believing in the product, Matt, and you said pushing that stone up the mountain and all the things you just mentioned right now that go into producing and really, like you said, building from the ground up. Now, when it comes to Capital Wrestling, though, what is, in your mind, the vision? Because you see so many independent promotions. You see promotions out there that
are one
try
shots
to mirror.
Kind.
Yeah, they're one shot, or you know, they're mirroring or mimicking what they've already seen. For example, I'm sure a lot of people, like, they see WWE and like, oh, we want to do exactly what they do. But not a lot of people tend to want to be different. In your mind, what separates Capital Wrestling in terms of what your vision is for the company in general?
Well, our vision is classic wrestling for the modern fan. It's predicated on presenting these modern characters, these modern personalities with, you know, a old school style of programming. It's episodic television. It's 27 minutes a week. Sometimes we go longer, sometimes we go shorter. And it's all about what can we do to excel not only the talent, but also the platform of professional wrestling. We have world-class performers, we have world-class talent, and we are trying to tell world-class style stories. Me and Marcus Dowling grew up on a healthy diet because of the democratization of wrestling on the internet in the 90s and 2000s, mm-hmm. of ECW, Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, world-class, Mid-South, all of those territorial-style promotions and creating territorial-style television.
What was your growing up? You mentioned all these things, like, you know, all the different kinds of independents and federations out there. But when you were growing up as a kid, what was the exact moment that drew you to be like, hey, this is something that I love, this is something that I want to get into? What exactly was your moment, you know, in your youth when you were watching professional wrestling?
Well, I can go back to the first time I ever watched pro wrestling, which was when I was 1 year old.
One, you remember watching that?
It's one of my earliest memories, but it's also one of the vaguest. It's like one of those foggy memories that you can't really say that you 100% remember, but it's pretty clear when I focus. I was watching WCW on Channel 9 in New York, and I was sitting on my grandmother's lap, and it was WCW Channel 9. It might have been the Power. I don't think it was the Power Hour, but it was like Worldwide or something. And ever since then, I was just in love with I would watch professional wrestling, fell in love with it, went to the Garden as a kid, was there when Austin broke his neck, was there when Sid won the belt. You know, I was there the night Mae Young gave birth to the hand, and by that point, I was all in.
But, that had to be the moment where you're like, listen, I got to start up a promotion if they're giving birth to hands. Imagine what I can do.
What it was, when I was starting college, I wanted to get into radio. I was passionate about radio, grew up listening to Opie and Anthony, Ron and Fez, Howard Stern, Don Imus. I wanted to go into radio, and I wanted to be a talk show host. And I did a wrestling radio show. It was all right, but yet again, I was 18 and wasn't funny. So a lot of growing pains in that regard, but it led me to meeting people in professional wrestling. It led me to doing commentary for independent companies. It led me to traveling to Canada and Matthew Ryan Shapiro being created on complete accident because I had a suit and I looked like a lawyer. So Matthew Ryan Shapiro was born just out of happenstance because I looked like a prick lawyer.
Oh, that's heat right there. Anytime you look like a lawyer, that's just cheap heat.
Listen, and I watched you on YouTube, and I watched a bunch of your stuff in the evolution of Matthew Ryan Shapiro. And I will say, though, you do have that natural the heat. You know, it seems like it comes naturally. You can get it. You don't really have to, you know, go too far and work up the crowd to get that heat, which is something that not a lot of people know. It's like it's a trick that most people wish they could do. Because some heels now have that issue where, you know, they think they're cool, but you get that natural heat where people want to see your ass get kicked basically on a nightly basis.
You know what it reminds me of, Jeff? It reminds me of Bobby the Brain Heenan. And something you can attest to, right, Matt? The fact that, you know, being able to take all that anger and hatred that they might have for you and taking that onto the talent that you're managing or you're representing, right?
Well, first of all, if you compare me to Bobby the Brain Heenan, stop, because I'm going to cry, because Bobby the Brain Heenan is the reason why. Him and Andy Kaufman and Jim Cornette are the reasons why I wanted to be in professional wrestling and why I wanted to be a manager. So anytime I get compared to them or Paul Heyman, I wonder what the hell is wrong with people. Why do they think that this schmuck from Brooklyn is worth even a tenth of these legends, of these people that I admire and look up to? And I've been able to meet Bobby Heenan. I worked for Jim Cornette like for a nanosecond in Ring of Honor. He probably doesn't remember me, but
did you get him his cheeseburgers, goddamn motherfucker?
I've seen Jim Cornette threaten to beat people with a bat. So I've seen that side of Jim Cornette. I am the same way. I have that same kind of temper. So
you can see where I'm drawing the comparisons here, Matt, all right? It's no need to call me a schmuck. The fact that those comparisons are there naturally, it naturally flows.
Well, let's talk about what this schmuck has done in the last year. Let's talk about his December 29th World War IV. And, I mean, it was impressive, man. I went there. It was my first time going. I've heard about Capital Wrestling. I've always wanted to go. And I was like, this is the opportunity. I reached out to you beforehand, and I was like, this seems like a place where anyone who wants to go and be a fan is going to be guaranteed a great time. So, I mean, everything was just done first class as far as I'm concerned. You had a seminar beforehand, and obviously everyone was working around there trying to get the show ready because obviously you guys had we're going to be live on Twitch, too. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too, but I mean, everything was firsthand. You had a seminar for the wrestlers and anyone who wanted to be talent as far as like do commentary or do promos. That was well done by actually your co-founder, Marcus Dowling, and Brutal Bob Evans. They were there and, you know, they were teaching more of the promos, and Bob Evans was doing the, you know, the ring stuff. But it just legit from the moment you walk in there and then the whole night of wrestling, it was just an awesome time. Reflect back on World War IV and just recap, you know, just what a crazy night that was for you guys.
It was a blur. The path to World War IV started on October 13th because that was the day before our fourth event and our second in Hoboken. And we decided to do something we like to do called binge mode, which is right before a show or on a holiday. We've done it on Memorial Day. We did it, I believe, on Christmas Day as well, where we just play every single episode of Capital Wrestling. Every single episode of Capital Wrestling, whether it's 25 to now 40, we'll play them all. And we were looking at Twitch as a potential platform because Wrestle Circus, House of Hardcore, it's growing as a brand for developing wrestling companies. And we were like, nah, screw it. Let's give it a try. And we were contacted in the middle of the marathon by Twitch. They said, we like the content. We'd love to have a conversation. And we immediately entered negotiations, which took about a month. And we decided if we're going to do this, if we're going to be a Twitch partner, which we're so happy to have, and we have subscribers who pay about $5 a month to, you know, help us out and just support the cause. And if you want to do that, go to twitch.tv/Capital Wrestling. There's a subscription button. But if you have Amazon Prime, you get a free sub every month. And if you spend it on us, that money goes to help Capital Wrestling, help fund Capital 6 on February 10th. We decided, hey, if we're going to do this, we're going to go live. And from that day forward, my head was spinning. Every minute of every day, from when I woke up in the morning to when I went to sleep at night, it was, okay, how do we run this kind of cable? How do we get on the air? How do we produce all of this? How do we build production pieces? I've got to go to a studio in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey to shoot our open. It was just so much to do in so little time. And for those who have never worked on a wrestling show, for those who've never worked on a TV taping, it's an all-day thing. I get to the building around 1 o'clock, and I don't leave till midnight. I'm there. I put all my stuff in an office, which is just a break room. And then we build our pre-tape room and a conference room. And then from there, talent come in. We shoot promos. We shoot stuff out on the street. We build up all of our equipment. And then we do the show. I don't sit down to think, to breathe, or to eat from 1 o'clock till midnight. And then I get Sonic and have a bourbon and wonder, why do I do this?
That's a deadly combination right there.
Go to sleep and do it all over again the next day, right?
Yeah.
But you know what,
Pretty much, as soon as every show starts, tickets go on sale for the next one. Yeah. So on February 10th, tickets are going to be on sale, and Groupons are already on sale for our March 24th date, which is our Capital Wrestling anniversary show, which is 364 days after our first show on March 25th, 2017.
Nice. So you can obviously tell the passion in your voice, because when you say everything you guys do, some people are like wondering, like, man, why does he even go through it? But then you see the passion and that you would do it all over again and that you're seeing results. You as a promoter, you as someone that's, again, from the ground up, what is your best advice for anybody that's, whether it's getting in the wrestling business, getting into what you're doing right now, what's the best advice you can give somebody that wants to follow their passion, or they have that dead-end job that they're afraid of leaving right now? What is the best advice you can give them?
If you're starting your own promotion, the first thing you need to do is find people who share the same vision as you. They don't need to share the exact creative vision as you, but they need to share the same vision and idea of what you want to do. Whether it's shooting a TV show, whether it's doing a DVD product, whether it's doing PWG, doing any of that, you need to ensure that that vision is the vision you all share. You need to find people, whether they're wrestlers, cameramen, or referees, who are just as passionate about pro wrestling as you are. It's like starting a band. If the drummer, the bass player, the guitarist, and the singer are all on the same wavelength and they can ride the same momentum, you'll be successful. You need people who care about your product, care about you, and care about success. Thank you, sir.
We're here with Matt Ryan of Capital Wrestling. Now, you guys had an amazing again, December 29th, World War IV. You felt your team fell short. You lost. You actually got pinned yourself.
Don't rub it in, Jeff.
What is now? We're gonna have to wait till February 10th. But what exactly now is the direction after losing to Team Capital? What does the future now hold for Team Bastards, Matt Ryan and company?
Well, you got to see. Paul Jourdain returns on February 10th. He's going to be in a match in our burgeoning heavyweight division. Ken Dixon is already defending the Capital Wrestling title against the crown jewel of the Mid-Atlantic, Eric Royal. You know, no one's heard from Matthew Ryan Shapiro since December 29th, and I have a feeling that not many people will hear from him until then.
He's been humbled, I guess.
I don't know if he was humbled. I think he might have been pushed to a breaking point.
Oh,
you ever
wow.
get hit with a kendo stick?
No, and I don't want to ever try, but man, that's ballsy there, what you just took on the 29th of December. That was crazy. But now we go to February 10th. An amazing lineup. Like you said, you just ran down just some of the card, and we're going to find out the continuation of the angle between Team Capital and Team Bastards, which I love that name too, by the way. And you're going to have George Carroll of New Japan Pro Wrestling, who represents the U.S. side. He'll be there doing a seminar. Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I've known George Carroll for almost 5 years. We had some interactions while I was at Ring of Honor. He and I worked with Court Bauer on Jim Ross's ringside shows. The last time that that Jim Ross and the Royal Rumble were in Philadelphia, I was able to work with Court, Jim, and George on the shows in Sayreville and in Philadelphia. And we kept in contact ever since then. He's a guy that has a great eye for talent. He was a guy that helped develop, you know, Red Dragon, Eddie Edwards, Adam Cole. All of those guys are because of have a huge, huge impact from George Carroll. And George Carroll works for New Japan Pro Wrestling now, and he wants to find the next great stars of our industry. There is a lot of great talent in pro wrestling. There's a lot of great talent around the country, but in the Northeast, there are a lot of people that need to be recognized, that need to be looked at. And George Carroll has that eye for talent. And if he can give you the skills you need, whether it's a word of encouragement or saying, hey, tweak this, maybe work on that, that's worth $30. That's worth so much more, because if a guy like George can see something in you, not only is that a huge recommendation to me that you should be on not only Capital Wrestling shows, but that carries weight. You may end up at the New Japan Dojo. You may end up with opportunities to work some of the bigger places in this country, in this world. So it's all about trying to find that little part of you that can translate to people that don't speak the same language as you, didn't grow up on the same wrestling as you, and are looking, they're looking for the next guy. Everyone's looking for the next guy. I'm looking for the next guy. So it's more of the, where are you in comparison to this bar? How can you get over the bar, and how can you set that bar?
Obviously, if you have a name like New Japan in front of it, you're going to be like, your eyes are going to be drawn to it and be like, I got to go to this event.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And the fact that New Japan Pro Wrestling is one of the definitive brands in our industry, the fact that a guy like George wants to come to Hoboken and scout talent is a huge bonus for us, but it's also just a huge opportunity for all of the talent in this area that never gets a chance to be seen by guys like that.
Now, Matt, talking about talent and having the ability to be seen, and, you know, exposure is an amazing thing, because obviously you can have the best shows in the world, get the best talent in the world, but if nobody's out there to see it except the people in that audience, and word of mouth is obviously very important, then nobody really notices it. Now, as we're in 2018, social media and YouTube and all those things are so vital, for not for talent, but also for promotions as well, to get your product out there, to get people to know and recognize who you are as a company and as a brand. So speaking of it from a promotional standpoint in yourself, of trying to not only build up these individuals that are wrestling for your promotion, but obviously build up the promotion itself. How vital is that for you right now, as opposed to maybe, you know, 10, 20 years down, we're all tape trading to find out who's the next guy?
Well, it's as important as ever. My email, every week, I get 4 to 5 emails, about 10 Facebook messages of talent that want to work for Capital Wrestling.
That's good.
And it's people with international acclaim, people that have been on television around the world, or if the guy from right down the road, and you look at what you can have and you look for upside. If you look at the Capital Wrestling roster, there are not a lot of guys who you could say, oh, they look the same to me, or they wrestle the same style, oh, they're the same kind of character. Each aspect of every person on our roster is different. And our job, my job, and Marcus's job, is to find that difference and figure out how it can fit into the narrative. Because when you have a show like Capital Wrestling, where you have a guy like Isaiah Wolf, and then a guy like Paul Jourdain, there's a huge dividing line there. In terms of experience, in terms of background, in terms of style, in terms of presentation. So you have to figure out, how do you present Paul Jourdain to the best of his ability, and how do you present Isaiah Wolf to the best of his ability? The same thing with our champion. Ken Dixon is unlike anybody else on our roster in the way he talks, in his ability, in his belief in himself. If you've ever seen Ken Dixon talk, you know that that man has an irrational confidence. And if you're a fan of Bill Simmons's writing, and you've read the Book of Basketball, you've heard about the irrational confidence guy. And that's the kind of guy I want on my roster. A guy not only with the confidence in himself, but the confidence to get other people over, to get other ideas over, to get the company over. Guys like Jeff Cannonball, who have worked for CZW, worked for GCW, have been featured on Vice, but will take a risk and work a Pocky Chip death match, to work in Capital Combat, to work for this brand and help get it to another level, to get it to another level of visibility. When you look for talent, the best talent will find you. The best talent will push you to book them. If more people give you a reason to not book them, that makes the guys you already have way more valuable.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, we are speaking to the mind, one of the minds of Capital Wrestling, Matt Ryan. I call him Matty Ice, just for my sake. But Matt, listen, you obviously, you talk to the promoter, you talk about being the talent, but you also are a fan. What are the things right now as a fan that you like about professional wrestling right now? And what are a couple things that you don't like where it's going as far as like maybe the wrong direction, the right direction of professional wrestling right now?
You know, I focus on the positives.
Mm-hmm.
I love that professional wrestling right now is back into the cultural zeitgeist. It's not the same way it was in the Marigold Arena era with Gorgeous George, or the Hogan era, or during the Austin era, or during the Territory era. Because in every major market, pro wrestling was a thing to do. Dallas, New York, Chicago, L.A. Wrestling was a big cultural thing to do. But pro wrestling is becoming cool again. It's becoming the hipster nouveau riche thing that, honestly, we at Capital try to attract. If you look at our audiences, if you look at the demographic for Capital shows, it's primarily mixed in terms of age and in terms of gender. We have female fans, we have male fans, we have binary, non-binary fans, and those are the people we want to talk to because those are the stories we want to tell. But pro wrestling has the ability to tell anybody's story. It could tell my story, it could tell your story. That's the thing about pro wrestling right now that I love. I love that wrestlers are able to make hundreds of thousands of dollars from Hot Topic. I love that Funko Pops are out there for everybody. Do I like every style of professional wrestling that's out there? No. If you watch Capital Wrestling, that's pretty much my taste in wrestling. Not, you know, those are the guys I book, and I book them for a reason. We book those guys for a reason. But if someone goes to a show and has a good time, that matters more to me than anything. If you walk out of a Capital Wrestling show and say, damn, I had a good time. Not everything was what I wanted it to be, but damn, that was a fun show. And if you want to come back, that matters to me. Those are the positives I look at. In terms of negatives, you know, I wish, obviously, that there was more competition on a national level, and that's what we're trying to go towards. But there are just... I love the fact that there's opportunity for anyone to make it. That wasn't there 10 years ago. That wasn't there 5 years ago. Now there's opportunities for you to make an impact anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter where you work for, who you work for. The ability to make an impact and change the lives thousands of people, to affect the lives of thousands of people. Look at what New Japan did with Wrestle Kingdom. Look at the relationships that have been growing in independent wrestling. Billy Corgan owns the NWA, for God's sake. Tim Storm was someone that the entire wrestling Twitter world was talking about, and he's a grandfather and a history teacher.
Yeah.
But people cared about his story. People cared about the 10 pounds of gold again. People cared about the NWA again for the first time in almost two decades.
Oh, agreed. Definitely.
So when you look at it like that, the ability to craft narratives now is easier than ever. And that creates for the most potential greatness in professional wrestling.
Wow. Yeah, that is Matt Ryan, Capital Wrestling. February the 10th is your next show in Hoboken, New Jersey. Tickets are available. A great lineup. We will see Ken Dixon in action there. Champion, actually the man that actually, Matt Ryan actually gave their championship. That's how good he is, that he was given their Capital Wrestling championship. So that's what he thinks of Ken Dixon. The champ will be there too. Listen, 2018 now is upon us. We're here. What you've set up, tons of goals for 2017. I think you've kind of done a heck of a job for your first year. 2018, what are your goals for 2018?
Sell out the auditorium. Mm-hmm. I want to run out of chairs in the Capitol Auditorium. I want to make Capitol Wrestling matter to more people. I want to tell more stories. I want to introduce more talent to people who may not have seen these guys before. I want to create something that can be compelling and is TV that people want to take time out of their day and watch. I want to make it appointment television. I want people every Monday night at 7:05, whether it's on you, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Twitch, whether it's on GFQLive.tv, I want them to be watching Capitol Wrestling and investing in the stories we tell and in the people we have as storytellers. That's what I want. I want to be able to grow this product. One of the things we're working on right now is getting TV clearance in Westchester County, New York. Nice. That's something we're looking to accomplish in Q4. Q1, pardon me, of 2018. I'm still thinking it's 2017.
Very nice. That's, lofty goals.
That is a goal. It's a lofty goal, but it's also something that we feel can be accomplished in 2018. We're in the midst of talking and figuring it out. It's not going to be a major station, but it's still going to be for people in the Westchester County area to watch our TV product every week. And we're looking to grow on Twitch to produce better live shows, tighter live shows, create a better overall experience for anybody watching us, whether you're at the Capitol Auditorium, on your phone, on Twitch, you know, on the bus, anywhere in the world, if you're able to watch Capitol Television, I want you to have the best experience possible watching our product.
Trendsetter, are you pumped for this? Are you pumped for 2018 for Capitol Wrestling? Oh, man, I'm excited, man.
Talk about selling people into the building. Matt is doing a great job of doing that right now, but you're right. I mean, we were there in December. We saw World War IV and all the work that was going into making it one of the best shows to end the year, and now to start the year off with a boom like that, hey, yeah, I'm sold already.
Plus, what a boss, too. I mean, you can actually have meetings at bars. I mean, who wouldn't want to work for Matt Ryan right now? I mean, it's freaking awesome. And then, you know, a long night, you maybe have some Sonic and whiskey with the boss. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't, nothing beats that. But
yeah, unless you're driving up to Sonic and they haven't prepared the food yet, like Jim Cornette and Dairy Queen.
Oh, yeah. I bet you,
Matt's even, I've had that happen before.
I bet you Matt's even worse. And too bad it wasn't caught on TV.
We wouldn't order if we didn't want the damn food.
But
we wouldn't order it if we didn't want the damn shit.
But Matt, again, listen, we want to thank you for your time here. Again, continued success. Obviously, everything starts from the top, and obviously you can tell that, you know, one of the leaders here definitely has his stuff together. He knows what he's doing. Everything is top-notch when we went to the show on December 29th.
Very professional.
Very professional. It is run like a tight ship, and I think that's awesome. I think it needs, from the top to bottom, everything needs to be run well. And from what I saw, it's run amazingly. Continued success for 2018. We actually will be there in February to check it out. We become huge fans. And what can you say? Good luck is for losers, right? Any luck is for losers.
Just wish him nothing but the best.
Wish you the best, man. And again, it's guys like you that are easy to root for because you're driven and you guys work hard and you get, you know, and you get rewarded because that's what hard work pays off.
Thank you, guys. Greatly appreciate it. And a baba booey to you. A baba booey to you.
Oh, we appreciate that. Thanks so much, Matt. And we can't wait to see anything else you post online. We'll definitely follow it as well. So, guys, make sure you check out Capital Wrestling. This is something that's going to be pretty exciting. The fact that 2018 seems to be a pretty big year for Capital Wrestling.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Check us out online, you know, every Monday night, 7:05 p.m., twitch.tv/Capital Wrestling or facebook.com. Search the Matt Men Pro Wrestling Podcast. Capital Wrestling Television may not be for everyone, but it may be for you. So watch it. It's the easiest half hour of pro wrestling television before 3 hours of Raw. Get a half hour of Capital in your face.
That's what's awesome, too. It's short and sweet to the point. Not like 3 hours. Sometimes you got to bear on Monday nights. So if you want to go with something great, 7:05 on Monday nights, and then after that you can, you know, just
still go to the bar.
Still go to the bar, and then you can Raw will still be on. But thanks a lot, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you, and thank you for supporting Capital, and thank you for, you know, having me on to blather about my ideas of what pro wrestling should be.
Awesome. Thanks, Bobby. I mean, Matt. I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks goes out to Matthew Ryan of Capital Wrestling. Wow. I mean, man, you can tell his passion, his desire, and definitely in 2018, if you're not aware of Capital Wrestling, you will be, because they're all over the place. So check out their YouTube channel. They're on the Facebook, on Twitter, everything. Just look up Capital Wrestling. Matthew Ryan, also a character on his very own promotion, Matthew Ryan Shapiro. He is the evil genius, the mastermind behind Capital Wrestling, and somebody to look out for. Again, 2018 will be the year of Capital Wrestling, and you know, I'm so excited, looking forward to following it.
It's definitely something to look forward to, and you're right. The enthusiasm is there for him. A man that wears many hats, Jeff, but at the same time, he keeps it centered. He tries to, at least, keep it centered, because ultimately he's doing all this because he has love for what he does. And I think that's always the theme when we have guests on the show, Jeff. It's always the main thing. They love what they do. They're passionate about it. They're dedicated to their craft, whatever it is. And that's ultimately kind of inspirational to you guys, the crew that are listening to this, but also for us as well, to keep us motivated in doing what we're doing. So really great interview with Matthew Ryan. Kappa Wrestling, definitely something to look forward to and keep your eye on, guys, because right now, the way Matthew talked during the interview, it's just getting more momentum for him. And you look at the quality of production, it's definitely rising and getting there too. So, I mean, that's what we want. We spoke about when I talked about Adventures with the Trendsetter, what we're talking about with these events that are going on in the independent scene and what we have looked forward to in the year 2018. It's quality. And, you know, that's probably the perfect word to describe it.
All right. So remember two things about Capital Wrestling. Their next event is February the 10th. They will be there live in Hoboken, New Jersey. Make sure you get there early, because there will be a seminar for all you wrestlers out there by George Carroll. Who is George Carroll? Well, you're going to know this name more heading into 2018, because he is the U.S. representative for New Japan Pro Wrestling. He is here, and he is going to see what it takes to make you a star. He's going to dissect what you are, your character. He's going to give you some advice. He's going to tell you what to do and what not to do to help you become, you know, the best character and the best wrestler you can be. And when you see him in New Japan and you see that the moves that they're making, hey, you could be that next star that he's looking for New Japan Pro Wrestling. You never know. And for $30, you don't want to miss out on the opportunity. So please contact Capital Wrestling and Matt Ryan to be a part of that. That's a very interesting opportunity for all your wrestlers. And I suggest that, hey, think about this. You fill up a tank of gas and you go, and then you pay for this event. It's going to be awesome too. And then, of course, you stay there for the night, February the 10th. They return to Hoboken for their first event of 2018. So there you go. Capital Wrestling, Matthew Ryan. Look forward to seeing you that night in Hoboken. So, and now we're going to talk about the WWE Mixed Match Challenge. It's going to be on Facebook Watch, and you get the brackets right in front of you. You saw the whole lead up to the pairings for SmackDown and Raw, male and female superstars of WWE. And just what stands out to you when you look at the brackets right now?
It's too long. This isn't the NCAA tournament, Jeff. I don't know what they're doing here. And I thought Vince McMahon hated tournaments. Oh, I don't like them tournaments, Jeff.
Well,
they're just
for
too
charity.
Long.
I guess they're trying something new.
We're not
new
doing King of the Ring anymore. God damn it. You're funny, Jeff. You remind me of Jackie Gleason. What I like about it, too, is it's so interactive. The platform they're using, to me, that's what I find interesting, because like I mentioned before, we've had discussions about this where, you know, where is cable television going right now? Where are we seeing all our content? I mean, Jeff and I are always now, believe it or not, I've fallen to that same, believe it or not, I've become a phone zombie in a way. I'm always on my phone just like Jeff is. And it's not like we're not paying attention, but my neck is going to be killing me when I turn 50 because I'm always looking at my phone. But it's true.
It's become the way of the land.
It becomes the way of the land. It's where we get all our content, whether it be, you know, something live that we're watching. But Jeff, how many days do people watch anything live? When we're sports guys, we don't really watch anything live anymore. You just stream it or you watch it on replays or you watch certain highlights and stuff like that, which is instant. So I think this is a great avenue, a new platform testing something out. And something like this, a mixed match challenge, we have intergender matches going on. It's exciting because this is also another dynamic where the WWE's kind of, you know, tailed off a little bit. They kind of had that during the Attitude Era or post-Attitude Era and kind of went away because, you know, they didn't want to offend anybody by having, you know, guys and girls in the ring at the same time. But now with the whole women's revolution and how they're on the same level as the men, I think it's a great dynamic. And you look at the pairing of the teams, it's something like, for example, it's not like you look at these pairings and you're like, oh, that's obvious. I mean, maybe some of them are, like Rusev and Lana, for example. That's one that just jumps out at me. But, you know, you have Finn Balor and Sasha Banks. A lot of people thought it was going to be him and Bayley because of their history in NXT and how they work together. So it's interesting pairings, and it's kind of like there is no clear cut to me winner in this.
There's a couple here. I mean, that I can tell you that.
But it's not, for example, you say it's 100%. It's going to be this team no matter what. You have a couple, but there's not one straight shot. Or do you think
no,
so?
No, I would agree with you.
Well, who are your picks in terms of the ones to really, they're going to be there at the finals, or they're going to be
Miz and Asuka and Rude and Charlotte. I mean, those two right there, book it, or is your final.
Really? So yep. Strowman and Alexa Bliss isn't really going to be a strong pairing?
The reason why I choose Asuka is because this is another chance for her to make her look stronger. I think that her and The Miz, why not? I mean, Asuka's not there to lose, so I'm going to say that she goes away to the finals. Now, I have...
Yes, but she doesn't have to lose.
I agree, but she's still going to be booked right with The Miz, and The Miz now is being booked like, you know, the bee's knees, so I'm going to say they're going to have a long run, and I'm going to think it's going to be...
Bee's knees? That's kind of hip. Yeah. Did you hear yourself?
The finals will be The Miz and Asuka and Rude and Charlotte, and I just think that's just obvious, and that was actually my pick that I put on the Twitter, but you're never nowhere to be found, so I had to, you know, represent us.
Oh, yeah. Nowhere to be found. I have the million things Jeff has me do. I'm nowhere to be found. I'm sorry, Jeff, okay? I can't do a million things
at once.
I have to
represent us, man. I have to represent both of us there.
Yes.
So I
Jeff actually did some work and picked up a phone and actually did the bracket. Wow. Bravo, Jeff. Bravo.
Oh, you can
so what are you going to do now? Take 2 weeks off to relax until we go to Vegas?
With a knife, you can touch the
Am I leaving
tension.
You in Vegas?
Cut the tension with a knife, not touch the tension. But, so, yeah. So, what do you think? Well, I don't know what that promo was, but I guess it flustered me because you're not really supposed to touch the tension. You're supposed to cut the tension.
Yeah. I've touched it a couple of times.
But he might AVN. So, your thoughts on the?
That's what she said.
Your thoughts on the final here on the bracket? Any? So basically, what I wanted to ask you is there any dark any? Basically, what I wanted to ask you was is there any like maybe a dark horse or anything that you could be like they could make a surprise run? Because I think it's more kind of clear cut, and I kind of know what the final is going to be.
God, I feel bad for Bayley. She's attacked him up with Elias. A surprise?
No, the worst team here is Goldust and Alicia Fox. Let's be honest. This is the worst team.
Nah, I don't know. Elias is pretty bad. But in terms
wait
of
a
clear
minute. Hold
cuts.
Hold on a second. Wait.
You're going to tell me. You're gonna tell me. You never let me
you're
finish.
Tell me that
you asked me a question.
Alicia Fox.
You
is
asked
anybody
me a
worse
question. Yes, and I said Elias and Bayley.
Oh, okay.
Wait, do you want me to spend 20 minutes defending myself to you? No, I'm not going to. You do this every time, Jeff. You ask me a question, and first of all, you complain that I'm long-winded on stuff, and I'm trying to do a better job at that. You ask me a question, and you interrupt me. Let me answer the question. God damn it. In terms of clear-cut winners, you're right. Rude and Flair, and then, you know, Miz and Asuka. I don't know. For some reason, I keep looking at Balor and Sasha Banks. I think there might be a dark horse there.
Well, when I think of dark horse, I mean like a long shot. You know what I mean? Like, you think that they're long shots?
Oh, okay. Dark horse means, all right, so maybe a Cinderella type of team. Dark horse
there
here.
There you go, Cinderella.
So, Cinderella. Dark horse might be... No shot whatsoever. Believe it or not, I think Rusev and Lana have absolutely no shot at this.
No shot?
No
shot. Well, no, but when I mean Cinderella is like a team that could go further that you don't expect.
Yeah, I just said Balor and Sasha Banks.
Oh, okay.
They're my Cinderella. Dark horse, when you said have no shot, as much as you love Goldust and Alicia Fox, I think Rusev and Lana have absolutely no shot of being impactful here.
That's true. You could see that, but basically, what's your finals? Who do you have winning the whole thing?
Rude and Flair.
Yeah, right?
Rude and Flair. I have him. As over much who? As Asuka.
Over who? Over who?
Looking at this bracket here, I have them going actually up against... They're not going to make it to the finals, though. Oh, they can, actually. Yeah, Strowman and Bliss.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I had Miz and Asuka. So I had that's a matchup, too. And here they give a team a second chance. So if a team loses, the fans get to vote. Who do you think would be the team that loses, but the fans vote in to give them one more shot?
Miz and Asuka.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Look, teach their own. I'm a little surprised because I would think
I love
that,
how you look at me that way.
I know. It's funny because I'll be like, okay, I would think that... Who the hell would vote for The Miz to get a second shot at this? So that's
not
what
I'd be voting for Asuka.
Oh, okay. So I'm thinking that Balor and Sasha lose and they get another shot or, you know, that's what I would think.
Nah, I've kind of lost my favor with Sasha Banks and Finn Balor. Have him go back to the club.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
So, all right. So this segment's gone.
Bayley's going to rule the day. She wants Samoa Joe over Finn Balor.
Yeah, that's
because now
injured.
She's got Elias Samson, as he has last name, and now he's got that.
See, but are you? Is it the booking that's upset you with Elias, or do you think he's not? Because a lot of people like Elias. There's a lot of people that stick out that would argue.
Name
with
me
you.
One person, Jeff, that likes Elias.
A lot of people are
well,
high
name
on
me one.
Elias. You've got, for example, Conan is high on Elias. Everyone they tune in. To...
So name me an important person, Jeff.
you've got, I think, Bruce Pritchard and Conan. They love Elias, too.
Okay, well, tell me somebody in the WWE likes him.
Yeah, they got your point right there. I think right there. But I think he's talented. I think he can go in the ring.
Oh, my God. Everybody likes Elias here. Oh, my God.
Book this segment, folks.
This is awesome. This is
on 2018.
This is natural what we're doing here, too. I'm excited for it. I think... Ultimately, Rude and Flair are going to win this, and but again, Jeff, you look at me with a weird face and reaction because I understand it. You have your certain groupings that you have in Paris, but again, anything's possible here. Like I said before, Jeff, there is no clear cut winner in terms of how these pairings are going to happen. We'll have a winner, obviously, at the end. Who do the fans vote for to come back if they get eliminated? We'll see what happens. That's
so
what's exciting
take,
about
so let's
this.
Let's take some pics from some of our. Listeners and some people that actually contributed on our Facebook page.
Let's do it.
Mike Malario picks Miz Asuka over Rude and Flair.
That's good.
And the second chance team is Zayn and Becky Lynch. So Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch get eliminated and they get the second chance. They win. So yeah, it's interesting there. Everyone has their own ideas. Anthony Rivera from Talking Devils, our boy from that great podcast. Hey, listen, folks, one cheap plug here. If you're New Jersey Devils fans, all five of us, you got to listen to this podcast because this dissects every single thing about the New Jersey Devils. It is an amazing podcast. You can follow them on Stitcher. They're available on all social media platforms, so please give them a listen. They are amazing. They have a great breakdown of the Devils team. So all five Devils fans, unite and listen to this podcast because they do a really great job. But Anthony Rivera, too, friend of mine also. Did I say my friend? He's one of my best friends.
Yeah,
just want to make
did.
Sure. Yeah, just so that you
he's
know.
My friend,
so you get a little jealous. He's got Miz and Asuka.
You can have him.
Winning the whole thing. You heard that, Anthony? I'm your boy. And the dark horse is Uso and Naomi. Jey Uso and Naomi. See them going a little far. How about that?
I agree.
They could possibly be there, too.
Either Lon and Rusev will divorce, and Jey Uso and Naomi could be divorcing after this.
Hey, we picked up a subscriber because Jose Fuentes entered the conversation.
Thank you, Jose. We appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he took a screenshot and showed him downloading our show. So
awesome.
How about that?
Thank
so
you so much.
We welcome you as a member of the crew. Everyone that's joined in, you are a member of the crew.
Too sweet. One sweet.
Exactly. He's got The Miz and Asuka taking on Rusev and Lana.
Okay, wow.
Okay, or he has...
In the finals,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or if not Rude and Flair, so those that would be it. So if it's not Rusev and Lana, he's got Rude and Flair, and then the second chance would be either Big E and Carmella,
okay,
or Elias and Bayley. Who would get that second?
I'm
chance?
I'm sorry, Jose, I can't give you Elias and Bayley for some reason. But
what about the rumor that WWE has given up on Bayley a long time ago?
I believe that.
You do.
I believe that from the moment she made her debut, because I think it took too long for the debut to happen. And when she arrived finally on the main roster, she had lost so much momentum because everybody was invested in the Sasha Banks Charlotte Flair rivalry. There was no space for her. And so when she finally did become champion, which was short lived, it didn't really matter. and it didn't have, they didn't really follow it and fully commit to it. So yeah, I would believe that, that they kind of have shown that. The, I mean, the proof's in the pudding, is as much as I love pudding. You see the product, you see Bayley right now, that she's really going in no direction. A lot of it's, you know, six tag team matches, tag team matches. Really, when is Bayley going out for a single round?
You know what? I just thought of this. How good did freaking Mickie James look on Monday Night Raw? Holy smokes.
There are no words to describe, Jeff.
It's like Sasha and Bayley were walking to the ring, and all of a sudden, Mickie James stops by, and I was like, holy freak, how good did she look?
Amazing. She is stunning. She's always been that way.
And like she is fine, like, wine, my yeah. friend. Like fine wine.
I don't drink, but I would for Mickie James in Nick terms of Aldis, alcohol. Yeah.
Lucky mofo.
She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. And, you know, hopefully she stays around a little bit longer because, like I said, it's scary to see the fact that I've talked about this time and time again, Jeff, when we've spoken about NXT and the women's division. There needs to be more rivalries outside the title because if not, everybody gets lost in the shuffle. And unfortunately, that's what's happening right now. But yeah, Mickie James is one beautiful woman. God bless her. Hopefully yep. she stays around. But again, it gets kind of stale right now.
Any thoughts on the Rumble for the women's? We haven't really talked about it that much, but any just quick thoughts?
Let's talk about it right now real quick.
We'll preview it. I know next week we'll make our predictions, but...
I think it's all set up in terms of for one particular individual. We'll talk about that another time, but it's exciting because it's a first ever of something. We saw the women's first ever Money in the Bank match, women's first ever Hell in a Cell match. You know, a lot of these firsts are happening, so it's very historic, has a lot of nostalgia feeling for something that's brand new or something, a first ever happening. I'm excited. You know why? More importantly, because first of all, I want to see how they're going to have 30 women in this. But again, with that being said, we talked about it when they announced it. We're going to bring a lot of people from the past.
30 women over the top rope.
Battle royal.
Over the top.
Over the top.
They're trusting these females, these very amazing, talented females that are...
They've done it before for battle royals.
5 foot. Well, it used to be the women didn't have to go over the top rope. It'd be through the ring.
Middle rope, exactly. Yeah,
but now... Some people may not think it's that much of a big deal. But you have the female wrestlers that are at 5 foot and the just reach 5 foot, Alexa Bliss. I don't know if she's in the Rumble, but it might be a little bit difficult task to have them go over the top rope.
Well, despite that, Jeff, I think I'm more excited for the mere fact of not how they're going to be thrown over the top rope, but who is going to be returning for their short stint in the Rumble. I'm thinking of names, for example, of Trish Stratus. I'm thinking of Lita. I'm thinking of Victoria from former WWE Pass. I'm also thinking of Jazz. Maybe Molly Holly comes back.
Michelle McCool,
you know, all those things.
Beth Phoenix
is somebody that people have been talking about wanting to come back for maybe one more event in terms of that. It's exciting to see them come back and see they contribute. And ultimately for me, to make it short now, it's come full circle. We've seen women from the past have helped establish this whole women's revolution with the present, and it's a nice combination. I think that's what's going to be the most memorable thing. I think we kind of have an idea who might win it. We'll share that again next week, but definitely excited to see it because it's something different.
You know, it is something different. And again, the Royal Rumble is shaping up to be something, amazing. We'll see what happens with the men's 30-man Royal Rumble, too. But again, that's something we'll discuss in the future as we head closer to Royal Rumble. It's only a few weeks away. So looking forward to that. And again, we want to thank Matthew Ryan from Capital Wrestling who joined us on the show. And that interview was brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. From cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Check out the entire winter fashion line, including brand-new sleeve shirts and hoodies. You gotta go to collarxelbow.com and save 10% on your entire purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. Get 2018 started off right with Collar and Elbow. Of course, Brian's sporting that Collar and Elbow hat.
It just goes with everything, Jeff. It just goes with everything. It's comfortable, it's fashionable, and it just goes with it. I rock this thing.
It just screams out trendsetter, you know?
It does. It does scream at trendsetter. And plus, the mere fact that it makes my beard look a lot bigger than it is already. I look like a pirate with my new facial hairdo. And you guys want to know what I'm talking about? Check out the videos on the YouTube channel. You know what I'm talking about.
All right, guys, we're getting closer to the road to WrestleMania. We're almost heading to the Royal Rumble, so that's always an exciting time. Make sure you watch the YouTube channel. Make sure you get caught up to date with all our information, all our interviews. Just go to highspotpodcast.com or subscribe and like the YouTube channel. Definitely so many things there to watch. Brian's going to be posting some new interviews. We will as well. We have commentary coming up on January the 20th for Pro Wrestling Magic in Ridgefield Park. It is going to be awesome. I think we're going to hit it out of the ballpark. I'm excited. We're going to be doing a battle royal, which is amazing.
We'll commentating on a battle royal.
Yeah, I'm not being in it. Are you going to be in it?
No, I'm not going to be in it. No.
Trendsetter, are you working me?
No, I'm not. This isn't a rib. I'm not working you. We're going to be commentating the battle royal. We're not going to be in it, actually. I would pay money to see Jeff in the Battle Royal. I really would.
And then, of course, WrestlePro makes its return the first show of the year on February the 3rd. Yeah, we will be there. It is, bracing for impact, I think, is the motto of the show. A bunch of impact superstars will be there, headlined by the first ever women's main event for WrestlePro. Tennille, formerly Emma, will take on Angelina Love, formerly of Impact Wrestling, too. So, again,
one half of the beautiful people.
So, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a great time, a great way to start 2018 with everything going on for the High Spot Podcast.
You know, Jeff, it's funny how we ended 2017 going into the new year, and we're like, wow, look at all that we've done. And I really had to take time to reflect, and I had to kind of force Jeff sometimes to reflect because Jeff was in the mode of, we got to keep going. So to me, at this stage in my career...
Just like your shirt says, run hard. That's what we were doing, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't even wear this on purpose. It just naturally happened. But it's all about enjoying the journey there. I've been victim, guys, of going and worrying so much about the destination, of the outcome, and getting everything done as quick as possible so I can get the ultimate goal accomplished. And when that's done, quickly moving on to the next thing and not appreciating it. So I think at the tail end and during the new year, we're like, wow, we've done a lot of stuff. And now you just mentioned what's going on in January with all the announcement we've made, what we're going to do with Pro Wrestling Magic, AVN Awards we're going to. And then, you know, what's going on in February. And then before you know it, it's going to be time to go to New Orleans for WrestleMania. It's going to be an exciting 2018, I feel.
I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be a great start.
Could it be possible to be more busy in 2018 than we were in 2017?
Hope so. That's what you want to do. You want to be busy. You want to make sure that, you know, you're doing these things for a reason. And let's get the subscription going up for the YouTube channel. We're going to be pushing that a lot. And again, we're giving you good quality. Again, you've got interviews like the new Impact Tag Team Champions in LAX. You've got Alberto El Patron there. You've got Cena the Savage. You've got amazing interviews, of course. Right before Final Battle, we spoke to Marty Scurll and Adam Hangman Page. How freaking awesome is that? You can get that on our YouTube channel, so subscribe. Also, the mini-series, The Adventures with the Trendsetter.
Yep.
Brian Berg is there. He'll have more interviews posted there in the future, in the next coming day. So, you know, make sure you stay with that. We've got also stuff from Pro Wrestling Magic 1216, Copacabana, Kingdom Come. Mm-hmm. Our first interview that's going to come out, drop out later today, is going to be Skylar Marie. Lovely, talented, and let me tell you, she is easy on the eye. So definitely, we're going to... I said it, man. Beautiful girl.
And if you guys want to follow her, check her out on Twitter and Instagram, @HotScoopSkylar. A joy to speak to, so much potential, and has a good head on her shoulder. So I've said this before, as corny as the sky's the limit, such a good-hearted person, and has only been in the business for a year and a half, and, you know, she's a young and up-and-comer, but when you look at her in the ring with facing talent in the likes of Jordan Grace, for example, she doesn't look like one. So I'm really excited to see what the future holds for her.
Yeah, so again, another up-and-comer in 2018.
And she's beautiful, by the way. Okay.
Gorgeous, gorgeous woman. And then two final things is also give us a listen on Wrestle Rant Radio. We're guests with Graham Matthews there. We talked a little bit about the Royal Rumble. We dissected Wrestle Kingdom 12. So many things we talked about. We talked about The Miz, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, of course, the Lightning Rod. So definitely give him a listen. Follow him on Twitter @WrestleRant. Graham Matthews, thank you so much. He was a former guest on the High Spot Podcast, kind of returned the favor. Really great show. Ask great questions, and we hope to have him back on again pretty soon. But yeah, man. And then, of course, our announcement, I guess, is finally we will be on Blog Talk Radio with the one and only Brian Fritz of Sporting News. Of course, you hear his podcast Between the Ropes with Michael Weissman and his amazing interviews with WWE superstars and all independent wrestlers as well. Any headliners, any big names, Brian Fritz has interviewed them, and it's going to be great to be part of the Cheap Pop Network. So it's going to be great to be a part of that. Thank you, Brian Fritz, for entrusting us with a show on there. And hopefully we can give you great content not only there, but also on the Shining Wizards.
We'll make you proud.
And B Plus Player Radio Network.
Looking forward to all that stuff, Jeff. Believe it or not, it's all happening in January, in the early stages of 2018, guys. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast. We enjoy doing this for you guys every single week, for you guys, the crew, because without your support, without your constant interaction with us, we wouldn't be where we are right now, and hopefully where we want to be in the near future with you guys along with the ride. So for the Jersey Brand crew, Jeff Martin, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berger. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, like us on Facebook, all High Spot Podcast. Visit our, as Jeff likes to say, brand spanking new website, highspotpodcast.com, all one word. Also, don't forget to give us a subscription, give us a review on iTunes, follow us on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean. Sorry, I was thinking of something else. And also follow us on the radio networks of the Shining Wizards and B Plus Prayer Radio Network, guys. Thank you so much. We will catch you all next week. Have a lovely weekend. And don't forget to visit our YouTube channel as well, High Spot Podcast, because that and all that we do are for you, the crew.